Welcome to the Doghouse here on NTNRadio.com and wherever else you pick us up. Yeah, we're still all under the weather. Warren is on a plane making people sick. Ken is at work making people sick. We're just making people, and I'm here in your ear making you sick. Ken and I were supposed to do the show this Sunday, and he came down with the flu that I had a couple weeks ago. It's just been going around crappy. So, unfortunately for you, good, bad, or indifferent, you're stuck with just me. Well, Warren left the country, I think, something like that. I don't know. He was just all over the place. I was like, Warren, can you be there Sunday? He's like, oh, no, I gotta be on plane. Actually, it was more like, yuck, I gotta be on plane. Them fly things. So, anyways, you got me. I'm sorry. I'll apologize ahead of time. I got a lot to little news to go over. I mean, they did have the racing in Malaysia, which, for lack of better words, you know, I know there's a lot of people excited about Rossi and him crashing out and stuff. You know, they were excited he was leading the race. But then they were like, oh, the pressure from Marquez. You know, I don't know if it was the pressure on Marquez or the same things happened to Rossi that's happened to him all year, except this time he didn't back off, is when he, towards the end of the race, he started losing tires. That went out kind of quick. I got to pay attention better when I do that. So what do I see? Yeah, I didn't mean to jump into MotoGP already, but screw it. We're here. You know, he lost the tires. You lose the tires, you go down. That's what happens. The ass end goes out on you, and you're on your ass. Got back up, finished 18th, no points. Ooh, big mistake. Marquez inherits the win. I mean, he was, what, 6 tenths behind? Would he have caught him? Probably. You know, he was getting close. Would he have passed him? Who knows? Probably. Marquez has just been killing it. And he's only got two more races to win stress-free, right? To race stress-free. Next time, after Valencia, the next time you see him on the bike, it's going to be in the middle of turmoil in the garage and cancer going around the garage. And yeah, that's right. Jorge Lorenzo's going to be his teammate. We know how that guy ruins a garage. So I don't know what would happen if he's, you know, if we're butts and all that, those things there. Don't know, don't care. I don't know if Rossi would have held on. I would have hoped so. You know, I'd like to see him get a win. It'd be good for Yamaha, good for him. Who knows? I mean, I know Rossi was just a happy dude anyways with Jorge Martin winning the championships, one of those VR46 guys. So, I don't know if he necessarily, you know, I know he wanted to go out there and do well. He always wants to go out there and do well. That's why he's still racing. Do I think that he's washed up? No, I know one of our most beloved listeners, and he's like the first guy who was like overseas who contacted us. We've talked about him in the past. I almost feel like he's family, Martin, and that's why I wish Ken was here today, because Martin sent this thing about how in the last 10 years, you know, Rossi's only won 12 races and all these other, you know, showed all these other people, including Stoner, who's won 11 more races in the last 10 years than Rossi, and he hasn't been racing, you know, and we have this discussion all the time, especially with Supercross. There are levels to bikes. You can be on a team and not have as good a bike as your teammate. That's just a fact. There's a number one rider on a team. There's number two riders. There's number three riders. There's number four riders. If you're the number two guy, you don't get the bike. I don't think Rossi's been the number one guy since he went to Ducati. And Ducati didn't have a good bike. You know, when he left Yamaha, I don't believe he was the number one guy there. I think they were going with the youth, Jorge Lorenzo. They were like, we're going young, we're going Jorge. And they adapted the bike to what suits Jorge better. Rossi, they kind of probably knew Rossi was like, man, I'm going to go to Ducati and win on an Italian bike, which, you know, how well did that work out? And then when he came back, Jorge was still there. It was still Jorge's team. And then he's been on Jorge's team And then I think when they signed Vinales, I think they signed Vinales with the hopes that Vinales is the future of Yamaha Racing and the future star. And I think it's more Vinales' team. Maybe not. Maybe they're kind of drifting back towards Rossi. I thought Yamaha would have pushed for Rossi to get a 10th championship. I really did. I think in 2015 he had a great shot till Dorna screwed him over. And Mark Marquez and Dorna screwed him over. I don't necessarily know if he's going to get a top bike anymore. That's just a fact. I don't think he's had a top bike in a long time. I just don't think he's had a top bike. And by top bike, I mean the number one bike at Honda or the number one bike at Yamaha. Now you could throw in the number one bike at Ducati and maybe the number one bike at Suzuki. But at the time he was on a Ducati, how many times did I say it? Ducati is Italian for eighth place. That's just the bottom line, folks. I don't know what else to tell you. I don't necessarily believe Valentino Rossi is washed up. I believe Valentino Rossi ain't getting a top bike. What do we say all the time? If you're not getting the best bike, look at Tom Sykes. Look at Danny Pedrosa. Look at Dovi when he didn't get the top bike. He's outperformed on it, but he still is lacking. Happens in every form of two-wheel racing, probably every form of four-wheel racing. Your teams have a number one guy. I think you're coming on close to 10 years since Rossi's been considered a number one guy. I mean, he's 39, maybe at Ducati, but when they brought Jorge up, it was obvious Jorge was their number one guy. Do I believe Jorge Lorenzo 10 years ago was faster than Rossi? Ooh, I don't know about that. If that's true, then nobody can ever tell me that Josh Hayes is the GOAT of AMA Superbike because he won all those races because he was old, and you're saying the young guy's always better than the old guy. Old and crafty still wins races. Rossi has proved that. Biaggi has proved that. Josh Hayes has proved that. Tony Elias has proven that, to sit there and say, that he's had a number one bike in a while, I don't think that's been a true statement. And the odds of winning a Grand Prix without a number one bike are way less than being the number one bike on a team. So let's get into important things that happened. I mean, Marquez won the race after Rossi threw it away right at the end. It happens. When you override your tires go away, and, it happens. The important things, Bagnaia and Jorge Martin both locked up their championships. Both were crowned world champions. Bagnaia managed to finish third, which was enough, even though Oliveira beat him. Third was enough. Marini won the race. I was happy to see Marini run the race. Earlier in the season, I'd been a little hot on Marini, thinking he's an up-and-comer, and I think he's had a couple bad races, a couple good races. And I think he's been a guy who's been on the number two team, the number two bike at the Sky Racing VR46, right? I think Bagnaia was the number one guy. I don't know if in the beginning of the season or the year before, but when they picked that, I don't really know how that all works. But I do know that I don't believe Marini was the number one focus of the team this year. I believe Marini will be the number one focus of the team next year. Just like I believe Marquez will be the number one focus of VDS Honda. Mark VDS Honda. There will be, there's always going to be number one guy and number two guy on team. That's just the way that works. But congratulations to both those guys. Bagnaia has had a huge dominant season in Moto2. Managed it, he locked it up, so he's got this 30 some odd points over Oliveira, which means there's nothing, even if he doesn't race. If I was him, I'd just ride around about 4 miles an hour. Be like, screw it, I don't care, I don't need to go fast, I'm the winner. But I'm sure he's going to go out there and press it when they go to Valencia in 2 weeks, because, that's what champs do. You don't get to that point in your life and not want to win every race you're in. Oliveira put up a good fight for a lot of the season. You know, Bender came on stronger at the end. Marini started picking up some pace. I think next year things are going to look really good for Moto 2. I think it's going to be exciting. Moto 3, you know, that the Moto 3 was kind of all over the place early in the year. You know, Jorge Martin came out as somebody who was kind of like, oh, all right, hey, let's pay attention to this guy. And some of the guys we thought would do better in Moto 3 didn't really. You know, I mean, I think there was a lot of us who thought, you know, Aaron Canet and John McPhee and some of these other guys were going to be the top dogs. Bezzecchi looked strong at times during the season. Fabio Di Gianantonio looked good. Bastianini, like I said. Jakob Kornfield. You know, there's a couple guys that I thought would do a little better than they did. Foggi had a couple hot spots. Antonelli looked good at times. Migno looked okay at times. Buliga, you know, these are all guys that they talk about and they all come out and do some good things. And it's hard sometimes with Moto 3 because you could be watching a race and there'll be 72 guys within a half a second of the lead at the end. But it just shows that it's that the even bikes and the level of riders, it kind of comes down to who's on the better team and who's on the better team helping them and stuff. You know, I mean, that's the story of motorcycle racing, being on a good team. That's why these guys jump around. That's why they're always looking. That's why guys in MotoGP are always looking and they jump around. And who's going to make me their priority? I truly believe Rossi left to go to Ducati, A, because he wanted to win on a Ducati, and B, because he wasn't the number one guy at Yamaha when they brought in Jorge. And why? And there's no better evidence that there's a number one guy and a number one two guy than Rossi leaving Yamaha. Because if he'd been the number one guy still winning championships and the guy they were pushing, it would have been much harder for him to leave. So anyways, that's all I'm saying. I guess we should get into some of the other stuff that's going on in the world. Some MotoGP news. Pretty sure I kind of called this. I don't remember if I called it on the air, but I think I did. Fanati appealed his suspension and his banning from the sport. And, of course, what happens is they punish him hard at the time, and then all of a sudden you go to see him racing because as of February 23rd, 2019, he's going to be allowed to race again at Dorner events and stuff. So, FIM events and stuff. So, don't count him out, right? Everybody gets forgiving of fast people. Fanati's fast. Don't think for a second he's not fast. Is he going to have to earn some trust from big teams again? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do I think that he's guaranteed to have a big contract right away? No, I don't think so. I think he's going to have to earn his trust, and maybe he gets on a crappy team and overrides the bike a little bit. But I can't imagine he's not going to get a ride somewhere. Maybe it's World Supersport. Maybe it's World Superbike. Maybe it's World... Maybe it's Moto 3. Maybe Moto 2. Maybe a backmarker on Moto 2. But I see him racing again. Don't go counting that dude out. That is not what you need to do. What is the other thing? No, I think that was it for Moto GP news. I do have some World Superbike news. So apparently 10K is out with Honda. No Moss. No more. Moriwaki Althea is in with them. They ran the last couple seasons on the BMW. They're going to be taking over the Honda factory rides in World Superbike. I'm hoping that's a good thing for everybody involved. The bikes were atrocious the last couple of years. It's bad for Jake Gagne because he ain't going to be riding the factory Honda. It's bad for PJ Jacobson because he ain't going to be riding the factory Honda. But hopefully it's good for Honda, right? The biggest problem is just because it's bad for a couple guys doesn't mean it's not good for some other, and they need, in the worst way, a good bike. So that's kind of it's a surprise, but it's not like, oh my god, I didn't see this happening. Honda can't have been happy. Nobody was happy in that situation. So hopefully they'll get a better bike. Hopefully the Hondas will return to some kind of prominence in the world of World Superbike. I hope, I pray. Because it would be nice to have another team in there battling for the championship. You know me, I like having a lot of teams within striking distance of the lead. That's important to me. I'm kind of looking. I have so many notes written all over the place that I kind of screwed the pooch up here. Yes, Milwaukee. Where's the other thing that I had? Oh, so we got some, we have some Moto America news. Let's get into the Moto America news. Obviously, more people need to listen to the Doghouse. If you got friends that are, not listening to the Doghouse that are into motorcycle racing, maybe they should, because we kind of hinted back when Warren and I got back from Pittsburgh, after the Moto America races, that we kind of thought Schultz was staying and that Westby was going to have the upgraded, Westby Racing was going to have the upgraded Magneti Marinelli electronics, which would make them very competitive against the factory bikes. That's very, very good package there. Like those guys ride. So we kind of thought Schultz would probably stay with the small team. And I know that he re-signed and he was testing with the R1. But there's also a little bit of a rumor that Westby Racing might switch to be a factory Aprilia team. Which is huge for if Westby Racing becomes a factory Aprilia team. That's huge for the Westby Racing, the Westby family. You know, that's really huge, and that's really awesome. It's really awesome that, you know, they could have packed it all in when Dane passed, and they didn't, and they pushed on and stuff, and the team has become, I think the team's become successful, even though they have a ton of wins and stuff. It's hard building a team from nothing, especially going through what those guys have gone through. But it would be huge to be a factory team. That would give a second factory team, or third if you consider Yamaha a factory team, in Moto America, which is positive. I know a couple weeks ago they had an article where it was like Ducati returns, but it wasn't factory Ducati. It was just some guy riding a Ducati. And I hate when you put up articles that make you believe something, and then you get in there and they're not, and they piss you off. And now, if you like to see my rants on those kind of things, you need to follow us on Facebook, because I'm just a jerk. But anyways, Westby Racing, though, is going to stay with Matthew Schultz, the South African, who is fast. He's a talented guy. He's a nice guy. We've met him a couple times. He's a pretty good guy. And it seems like the right fit. I like it. I think it's good. I know there's been a couple people driving the Yoshimura Suzuki. One of the things that seems to have caught everybody by surprise is that Heron didn't test with it and kind of didn't make an effort to test with the Yoshimura Suzuki. You know, now this week on his Facebook, he's asking people who they want to see him with, Yoshimura or Attack Performance. And, you know, part of that is Heron doing what Heron does, which is drawing attention to himself, which is what he needs to do. Part of it is also seeing, you know, maybe he's testing the waters and stuff. I know Yoshimura would give him the opportunity to ride the bike. You'd be a fool not to. But when we talked to Heron at Pittsburgh, you could tell, and we talked about this on the show. So, like I said, if your friends aren't listening to Doghouse, they're trying, and they're like, "Oh my God, did you see that?" You'd be like, "Yo, Phil and Warren ruined that a month ago." When we talked to him, he was really, really happy with the way things were at Attack. He said it was a lot of work. You know, he said they were out there fighting for nickels and dimes, and they're out there fighting, and it's not like being on a factory team where everything's handed to you. But you could tell there was an excitement in his voice when he because he got that win there. There was an excitement in his voice with that team. You know, like he liked it. And we said, hey, are you going to go Yoshimura? Are you going to stay? And he says, man, you know, at the time he said, man, he goes, I'm really thinking about staying. I think Attack Performance, you know, he likes racing for those guys. He loves the guy who owns the team. It's really special when they win. They put in a lot of work. They don't pester him. Like, he can be himself on social media. There's no, they don't seem to limit him and everything. And you know what? In my opinion, that's really smart. You know, Heron, I think, is one of those guys who's got a great personality. You know, we talk about guys on here. There's several guys in the garage with great personalities, and you get to see them. Heron, Fong, JD Beach, some of the younger guys have it too. And then you got the other guys who are so in the, I need to do everything the sponsor says, I need to do this. They're fast. You know, guys like Cambubia, he doesn't quite have the personality. He's not the outgoing guy. He's not out there doing things. And you don't know whether it's because he's had the talking to where this, you will not embarrass this, your contract says this, this, and this, or if it's just that doesn't fit their personality. And they kind of come off a little bit as standoffish, even though most of these guys aren't. You know, most of the guys are good riders, good guys, and they're not really standoffish. And you go to a race, you get to, like, browbeat with them a little bit, and you can see they're not. But some of it is the quote, handlers. I hate that word, but it's true. So, it's no surprise to Phil or Warren or anybody here at the doghouse that Heron hasn't done the Yoshimura Suzuki test, and I would not be surprised if he doesn't. I would love to see him next year on the Attack Performance Yamaha, giving it to the factory teams, going out there and doing well. That's what I'd like to see. Unfortunately, I don't know how that plays out as being offered a world job or anything, but, you know, I don't know how it plays out. I didn't see Bubier getting offered a world superbike rider or anything like that either. So what do you lose? I think Heron being Heron is better for Heron. That's all I'm going to say about that. Speaking of Moto America World Superbike connections, they've just announced the schedule stuff for Laguna Seca. And what's it, Monterey Motorcycle Week or Monterey Motorcycle Fest or whatever they call it out there. I don't know. I've never been. So if I butchered it and you want to send hate at me, send it to Warren. He'll read it on the air when he comes back. That's Warren at ntnradio.com. But there's no mention of World Superbike. Now, we know World Superbike is supposed to be doing Ireland, but that might be pushed back to 2020. There was a mention in an article from Road Racing World that it was just a scheduling conflict this year, and they will be back to Laguna Seca in 2020. They do have a U.S. round listed on the World Superbike preliminary schedule. I guess we'll have to see. Wow. If there isn't a World Superbike race here, it's a big kick in the dick to America's motorcycle racing. I know they're going to South Africa next year. There's talks of going to Ireland. And I know the schedule is going to be tight and stuff like that. And it looks like hopefully they won't have that 10-week break in the middle. But that's World Superbike. I'm sure they'll cut races just to make sure they get that time off. But that's a kick, right? I don't know if it does them any better to race someplace else. You know, of course, online everybody starts speculating. They're like, maybe they'll go to VIR, or maybe they'll go to COTA, or maybe they'll go here or there. And I'm thinking, if they're leaving Laguna Seca, they're not thinking of going anywhere in the U.S. Especially, we'd have heard some kind of rumors about it. There are other great tracks. I'd love to see them at VIR, because I would go to that in a heartbeat. But I don't know if VIR has the seats and the infrastructure for that. You know, I don't know. I'm sure, I mean, you know, they do and they don't, right? I'm sure Road America would love to have them, and I'd love to see a Superbike on a big track like that, or, you know, a World Superbike on a big track like that, or COTA. But I don't see that happening. I think that they're going to see how these other countries done, and I don't know. I'm not as skeptical about 2020. I feel the world feels, much like some of the people around, that Americans are losing the taste kind of for superbike racing and motorcycle road racing, and we got to do something about it. You know, we got to make attendance great again or something like that. I just threw that in. I know there's going to be people that are going to send me hate mail on that. You can send that hate mail actually to Ken at ntnradio.com. He loves when we overstep bounds and people go and say stuff, you know, and send us attack stuff. He loves that stuff. That's what he specializes in. So, yeah, I don't necessarily like that. I'm not happy about World Superbike punching out on America. And that's how I see that. I kind of feel like if they're going to punch out America, we should punch out on them. But I'm not sure that we haven't. You know, it's hard. It's really hard to build a fan base for something. Look at all the problems Bean having. I mean, Bean overrode the last race of World Superbike for women's tennis, I believe, this past, you know, 2 weeks ago. It's a mess. The state of motorcycle, maybe I should do a State of the Union. The state of motorcycle racing in the U.S. is not so strong. You know, pro racing, right? World level racing. I know the clubs are getting big turnouts. I know there's a lot of people. Maybe what we got to do is get more of these club guys on their weekends off to hit the track and go support the guys out there racing pro. And, you know, we're just not getting the job done. One final thing I want to talk about a little bit. I really wish Ken or somebody else was here to throw shade at this. So I'm going to mention it. We'll probably talk about it next week a little bit more. Well, there's two things. You know what? I'm going to save the Isle of Man TT news for next week. I have some interesting thoughts on. If you don't know what's going on, you do a little research. There's rumor mills that the people that do Street Outlaws and some of the shows for Velocity and Discovery Channels want to get into the Isle of Man TT stuff with their reality television stuff. And you all know how I feel about that. So I'll save that for next week. Man, it's almost the end of the show. I might have to save it both pieces of news. The other thing I was going to talk about is the e-Grand Prix, the e-Moto GP Grand Prix stuff that I was watching, which I was not sure why I was watching, other than it was on the Moto GP site, it was on Bean stuff. It was all over the place, and I actually sat down and watched it, and I'm really scared that that's the future of sports. I think the future of sports, after watching this and seeing sites like... you know, I know YouTube has it. That's not the one I'm thinking. I want to see Twitch. Yeah, Twitch. You know, sites like Twitch, where people are sitting there watching people play online sports like they're real sports. You know, that's no big contracts, no big stadiums, no big television contracts, no big, you know, 10-year, $20 million contracts. I don't know. That kind of stuff really worries me. I really like going to sports events. I think that's what happens when people don't leave basements. You know, I like going out. I love this weekend. I went to a big Toys for Tots rally. Next two weekends from now, I'm going to be at a race. You know, there's all kinds of good stuff going on. I like being there. Apparently, people don't. They like tweeting and Facebooking and Instagram that they're there, but they don't actually take time to enjoy being there. And I think that hurts Moto America. I think that hurts MotoGP here. I think that hurts World Superbike here. I think that hurts everybody. We'll talk more about that next week. I'm out of time. Time is on my side. No, time is on your side. Sorry that it was just me. Things got screwed up this week. Hope you at least felt like I didn't do a horrible job. If I did do a horrible job, send your hate mail to me and I'm going to tell you to F off. And you can frame it and hang it up on your wall. It'd be kind of cool. I want, like, hashtag Phil's a douche or something like that. All right, we'll be back next week.